Hi, I'm Brian Holes, the music director here at KX93.5. I invite you to listen to more music and talk programs on our grassroots, nonprofit radio station here in Laguna Beach from anywhere in the world via kx93.5.com/listen, our smartphone apps, or tune in. But right now, here's that podcast from KX93.5. Good afternoon, I'm Brian Holst, and I am joined live in studio by geographer. And Michael, how are you doing?
Good, how are you?
I'm well, thank you. So, in terms of touring band versus geographer, a little bit of changes. You started off as a trio, is that correct?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And now you are the main creative force behind the band.
Yeah, I've always written the songs and the arrangements and production, so.
And right now you are with Duncan, Cody, and Joyce, and they're mm-hmm. your touring band.
Yes, yeah. And I like to work in the studio with my touring band as well, like that's what I've done in the past. It's just you really get to know them really well, and more importantly, they get to know you. So there's very much like an understanding between everybody, and that really helps in the studio just to make things flow and to get the best out of everybody.
Now, what's the difference between like the touring group and then what you're doing when you're on your own and you're creating music?
Well, when I'm on my own, I mean, every song basically starts in my bedroom. That's where I demo it out. Whether it's, you know, with full instrumentation or if it's just me and an acoustic guitar, like I just work it over and over again until I think the song itself is done and ready, and then I bring in other instruments. So that might include being, you know, going to someone who I know, whether that's someone in my touring band or another musician. You know, I might say, I think you would be perfect for to play this part, you know, so what do you got? Or I would, you know, sometimes write an entire string section and then just print that out and hand that to people. The writing a part using another person as an instrument is really exciting for me. That's one of my favorite things to do. Because then you get ideas that aren't yours, you know, that you couldn't come up with, or they might spark something in me that makes me go another angle. And that's really where a lot of the magic happens.
Yeah, the different, the creative impulses and thoughts and everything kind mm-hmm. of collaborating. Actually, that brings me to a thought I had, which is that when I was reading a little bit about the last two albums, and mm-hmm. please correct me if I read
sure.
incorrectly, but with Myths, you were looking to do something a little bit more experimental in the songwriting process, and at least with some of the initial songs that you wrote for Ghost Modern, the forthcoming album, you kind of took a different approach. You were writing like the piano parts mm-hmm. first and whatnot. What was the reason behind that change, just to kind of get a different feel, different sound?
I think it was just about the kind of musician I wanted to be when I was writing Myth. I wanted to sort of prove that I could be experimental in a way, and I wanted to see how far I could push that and how well I could do that. And then it's been a long time since then, so the music that I've been listening to is very traditional, like Paul Simon, Bruce Springsteen, James Taylor, ELO, and you know, you don't really hear that stuff in the music, of course, but I think the ethos behind it makes its way into the songs on Ghost Modern. And so it was really just what I wanted to do. I really wanted to try to write the best songs possible.
Well, you know, I talk with artists sometimes about the two different I words, because sometimes people say, oh, well, they were influenced by someone. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's kind of the wrong way to put it, at least if it's accurate, that's maybe not the best thing. Inspiration, perhaps, is a better way to put it. And those are all names. We play generational alt rock, we call it. So we play new stuff, obviously, like yours, but we love mm-hmm. Paul Simon and James Taylor, the Boss, and whatnot. So
I mean, they're the best that there are, you know, now or then, you know?
So Modern Ghosts comes out what day specifically? I think I saw two dates originally. I don't know if it got pushed back or not.
Ghost Modern comes out.
Thank you.
Okay. I wanted to just slip that in. Ghost Modern comes out March 24th.
Ghost Modern. Yeah. And I know your 2008 album was called Innocent Ghosts. Is there any sort of linkage there?
No. And there was like some talk about, well, can we really name it Ghost Modern? Because it's like Innocent Ghosts. And one of our old record labels was Modern Art. But it's just what I wanted to call the album. It really has nothing to do with either of those.
One thing that I thought was really cool when I was reading about sort of your outlook about music in general is mm-hmm. that, and I'm not going to ask you about meanings because you know, I've read that, you know, you kind of like to leave a little bit of mystery mm-hmm. and a personal interpretation to the listener, which is something I remember when I was younger. I would hear Michael Stipe talking about from REM in the 90s. He didn't like to publish his lyrics because he wanted the listener to personalize them, and their meaning that they extracted was more important to him than what it was for him. So is it something kind of similar for you?
Well, it's funny because when I listen to a song, all I want to know is what the songwriter thought it was about, because I want to learn. When I'm listening to music, I'm learning. So I want to know what they were thinking, what they were trying to do, and how they did it so effectively. But as someone who makes music, I want the listener to have whatever reaction they want. And I've found that sometimes people will come up to me and tell me that a certain song means a lot to them. It just makes them think about a party and like having fun and the sun. And the song's actually about death. So, and I don't want to say that to them, you know? I don't want to be like, oh, well, that's nice that you, that's a positive thing for you because, you know, because I don't want to ruin that.
Yeah, because like, I wrote it in heartbreak mode, thanks.
And that's a large part of it, too, is like it comes from sadness, but all my music, there's a redemptive quality to it, I think. It just, it always ends up, like, I don't think I've ever written a song that's just really, truly sad. It might, there's elements of sadness and nostalgia, but I think most of them, there's a lot of silver lining to all the clouds in them.
Well, I think a lot of good music, especially stuff from the 80s, indie rock and indie pop that, you know, may or may not be influenced. But I think there's always that kind of that strand of melancholy, you know, in there, even with the happiness or the hope.
Yeah.
Because oftentimes, you know, the latter is born from the former.
Right.
So before we start the live set, you're based in San Francisco.
Yes.
You've been there for what, maybe 6-7 years at least?
Almost 10, I think.
Yeah. What is it like? You know, I always read these stories about how the tech industry is slowly and slowly taking over. What's it like to be an artist in San Francisco in the Bay Area when all these rents are going up? I mean, is it hard? Do you see that community slowly getting whittled away, or is it thriving still?
I do, actually. It's hard to say why, but it is true that a couple of my friends have left San Francisco who are in bands. And, you know, they moved to L.A. or they moved to Portland, and these are great cities. Like, maybe it's Portland and L.A. drawing them, or maybe it's just the fact that, I mean, I think the thing that I struggle with is that the rehearsal spaces in San Francisco are so few and far between, and they're really expensive, they're really loud. It's just like, it really isn't the smartest place to start a band, but then when you go outside and you can drive over the Golden Gate Bridge and just be in the Marin Headlands in 20 minutes, so it's give and take. It's like, I mean, I spent a lot of time by the ocean writing this record, and I wouldn't have been able to do that in a lot of places that are a lot easier to make music in. So, and I just feel so tied to San Francisco now, and especially those fans. They were the first people to really latch on to Geographer, and I just feel totally billowed by them. So I don't want to leave them, you know.
You've got a lot of support, and a lot of people like what you're doing, so you know, you're by the ocean here, so I guess
this isn't bad.
It's about what better place for you to perform some songs from the forthcoming album.
True.
You ready to dig in?
Let's do it.
You're going to be doing I'm Ready first,
yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
We're KX93.5, and this is Geographer in studio with us, performing new songs from our album Ghost Modern.
Night for an island and a kingdom for your soul. If you truly are in love with living, then you have got to let it go. You've been staring at the ocean like it's a but the truth is, it's a cool kid. Turn around and watch it burn. 'Cause I'm ready.
Geographer live in the studio here at KX93.5. They are sporting our most complicated and really impressive setup live yet. They've got full drums, keyboards, two of them actually, synth, all sorts of great stuff. And they're going to perform a song called Need right now.
We'll be right back.
Geographer live in studio here at KX93.5. That song is Need. And right now they have their third and final song of the set. This is The Guest here on Laguna's Only FM.